Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down Season 3, Episode 16, Chapter 51, Big Fun. Did this Heather-inspired episode hit a high note, or did it fall flat? Plus, did Jughead see paradise by the lights of a burning childhood trailer? We're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Whoa! Hey everybody! Welcome to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights there on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hello guys, Sam Davidson, happy to be back, and I am also in the live chat.
Hey there, I'm Elena Jordan.
And I'm Zach Peter.
And as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and hop in the chat. I know Sam's got it up and running. She's already just loving all your thoughts and comments, so keep them coming as we break down this episode. Yeah. So before we get into specifics, overall, and Sam, we'll start with you since you weren't here last week.
Sure.
What did you think of tonight's episode?
I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot better than the Carrie episode. I think I liked the music better. I think the cast feels a little bit more comfortable together, and I got the chills a lot. It means I'm very happy watching television. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I love right off the bat, they kick it off with the opening song and just kind of explaining, like, why would you think that a musical, that Heather's the musical about suicide would be a good thing to do in Riverdale? And just immediately them being like, no, it's about the rejection of nihilism. Also, we can sing. Like, I was just like, all right, boom. Get it.
I love it. I surprisingly enjoyed it. I know I was, like, very skeptical because I don't like musicals. I mean, I will say I thought the lyrics were really stupid. But I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed the story arc. I liked the Heather's references, even though they were only, like, what, two?
Well, they did the Heather's... The lyrics were actually really good because they modified them for the show. So, it, okay, like, it fit really well. I thought they did a very good
they
job with
that. They modified them for 17-year-old
It was
brain.
Just for the... If you are a fan of Heather's the movie and not Heather's the musical, they had the chainsaw reference, which if you've seen the F Me Gently with a Chainsaw, which I was like, ah, shout out, got it. And then the, like, drain cleaner. Like, when she was like, oh, what is that, drain cleaner?
Yes.
And, like, those are the only two, like, glaring references. But still, they adapted it really well.
I thought it was fun. It was way better than Carrie. I'll give it that.
Really good. It was way better than Carrie. I loved it. And nobody died, which was good.
That was disappointing.
Yes, I was disappointed by that as well.
That was disappointing.
I will take up your staff there of not liking it.
Really? Why?
I was not a huge fan. Didn't really enjoy this episode particularly.
Do you like Carrie better?
I love
this. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of musicals. Like, was that? I mean, they're sometimes all right, but I mean, with the lyrics were kind of eh. The storyline was kind of eh. I was more interested in the stuff that had to do with not singing.
Yeah.
And anytime they started singing, I was like, what's going on, guys? All right, let's... Let's talk more about
See,
Hermione. Let's talk about
Iroh. Paying attention to the song and not to what they're actually saying. And then every time I did tune into, I'm like, these are very elementary lyrics. I can't. My brain cells are popping.
A good way to make them like fit though, because it was what, beautiful candy store, big fun.
17. We heard a lot
yeah,
of 17.
Our love is God. 17 lifeboat, and then the 17 reprise.
They got a lot of the songs in.
What were
great.
You going to say?
I will say just that last, the reprise at the end was awful.
Yeah, the reprise was really
awful. Okay. With the worst choreography ever. I don't know what was going on
with
that.
I will
off.
Say the reprise, I was like, what is this stomp moment that is happening right now? And also, Jughead can't just be in the play because he's there. Like, that was the only thing that I was like, okay, you can't just be like... I'm here covered in soot. I guess I'm in the play now. Yeah. Follow my lead. And I'm like, you have a like solo line like that you apparently never rehearsed. What?
And plus, the choreography wasn't very hard to teach because I don't know what it was.
It was just way, like, they weren't
it
even
was
in
like
sync.
Just clomping about
it was just
that.
Cult
I was
dancing. It's yeah. like, ay, 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 getting into the cult.
That
where's
I was like, this is the most realistic part of this whole thing is going to like a high school musical and watching it and everyone thinking that it's this grandiose thing. In reality, it's just them clomping around right. like, I'm a star.
And I was with every parent as I cut away to the various parent shots where they're all just like,
it was so bad.
I liked JB just like popping her gum. Like, I was like, you're okay.
I liked it. I liked it. I got the chills during that moment. I'm sorry. I did.
Don't be apologetic, Sam. If you liked it, you liked it.
I thought overall it was very good. I thought they found, I was wondering how they were going to make these songs and make these references fit with their storyline. And I thought they rose to the
challenge. I thought it was good for being a musical episode of Riverdale. I thought they did a good job of working kind of the two in together, like the Heathers with the storyline. As a fan of musicals in general, I'm with you, Frank. Not going to be buying tickets to that anytime soon.
All right, I guess I'll be alone, but I guess we should...
Well, no, Alina liked it as well.
I'm also here.
Yes, that's right. Sam. So you're not alone, Sam. There are just story points that I'd rather would have been told through dialogue and emotions than through song.
Yeah.
Just for me personally.
But what is more emotional than song?
A good
and
song?
And what dialogue is more emotional than lyrics?
All right. Well, we'll dive into it here. So it is all Heather's musical. Mm-hmm. This was Cheryl's big decision. She forced this after her breakup with Tony. And luckily the farm is going to be sponsoring. They're behind funding this whole musical. So it's great. But
where
luckily,
are they getting money from
the farm
from like Betty's mom's house,
they're growing it from Betty's mom's house.
You guys, they are growing money on the border of where Sabrina lives. You know, Sweetwater River, that's the magic.
You're
it's
trying
money.
To turn the Sabrina thing so hard. I'm like, they flat out are like, we sell magic mushrooms. I'm like, that's how
never give up. And even if we're not doing this show one day and it happens, I'm going to call every single one of you. That did not believe me.
All right, so we see Evelyn, who is now appointed a director. We've only seen Evelyn like sporadically throughout the season.
This was a very Evelyn heavy episode.
Did you feel like, was it warranted? Did you feel like you get to know any more about her?
It was just weird to me because she's not really a big song dance person. And like to make her this... You know, like it when you see her dancing, like you can tell that this isn't somebody who comes from like a huge dance background who's like just doing this because this is what they're supposed to do. So it's like why did you make this
dance.
Like her shining episode? I don't know. But I mean, I thought it made sense to have her storyline kind of narrate so that it could tie in all of the different songs and everything. But I mean, even going into, you know, like the big fun, like the daddy says line, like, I mean, when she's like, what would your father think of this? I was like, oh, this is just so she can go, daddy says, and then she did.
Yeah.
I don't like her. And I think that means the actress is doing her job very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I cannot stand anytime she talks or is on screen. Mm-hmm. I don't believe her. I feel like she's the next Ethel, which, you know, Ethel.
Ethel.
Oh, she died a slow death.
Yeah. Well, we got another one. And she's even more annoying.
I find that she's weird because when it comes to farm indoctrination or any kind of farm-related business, she's very confident. Mm-hmm. And she will tell you, like, you know, what the deal is. And she will not be afraid to blackmail you to, like, you know, keep you quiet about talking about anything about the farm. But when it comes to just simple school socialization... She seems very uncomfortable, and she feels like out of place, and she's looking for a place within that social hierarchy in school, and she hasn't quite found that yet. Because you see her kind of reacting to Cheryl and Veronica and Betty just the way that they act towards her, that she will try to do other things to try to make herself seem cool.
Which is why this was kind of an interesting episode too, because it seemed like sometimes that was just so they could kind of shoehorn in to the next song almost. Like there were some lines even like when they're at the party and she's like, I can't believe she came here. And it's like in the musical, it's actually Heather saying, I can't believe you came here. But here to make it work, they're like, Evelyn will say it to Cheryl and they'll be buds. Even though in the next scene, Cheryl's like, get away from me, child of the corn. Like, like
which I almost feel like Evelyn, like the next morning thinks like, oh, hey, we sang a song together. we're like best friends now.
Yeah.
And then she throws that out and she's that's why she does like the whole Tony stuff. Because you feel like, all right, well, you hate me, so I'm going to dig back at you.
I feel like she's just building sacrifices in some way, literally just like getting little sacrifices and isn't even trying that hard to make a personal connection to them. That's just my own personal crazy Sam theory. You know,
well, I have one every episode. Like drug peddlers try to have a relationship with their druggies?
No, I think that she literally believes that there is some bigger thing and she has daddy issues, and I'm sure we'll get into that, but...
I mean, I would have daddy issues too if Chad Michael Murray were my dad.
Me too.
Just saying.
Ew.
I mean, I guess, and we go to the party and she's just, you know, she gives Kevin a mushroom brownie.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, drink plenty of water.
Is anyone else really hating Kevin?
I'm really frustrated with Kevin. Just because, again, and I've talked about this, like, he's such an underutilized character, and now they're making him into a dumb character that it's like, I don't think he's that gullible, and I hate that, like, we keep dismissing him in these types of episodes.
Well, he wears that curly hair way too much this episode.
Yeah, I did not like the curly hair.
Oh. Curls are for crazy.
Tighter the curl, the crazier the bee.
Yes.
But I agree with you. I mean, the son of a policeman who you would think he'd be a little bit more sharp than that.
Yeah.
But he's not.
No, he's dull.
Everybody is falling victim to...
The farm. It's probably Chad, those Michael shirts, that like really cute shirt that said the farm that she was wearing with like a rainbow.
Yeah, I was like, what is this like My Little Pony type style of the farm? I mean...
I just have a shout out to the chat. I find interesting because it seems like they think like me. Taylor James, but what if Edgar brainwashed his daughter to take the Riverdale kids and bring them to the cult?
Probably.
Yes.
I mean, it seems very much like that. I mean, Betty even is saying, like, I'm on to you.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what the cult's doing.
I mean, I don't even know if it's necessarily brainwashing. It is just raising her in that environment. Yeah. That is just, that's all she knows.
Well, maybe drugging her, too. She's drugging everybody else. Where do you think she learned that from?
She probably was drugged, and that's how she got caught up into buying into all of this craziness. And now she's just so cuckoo.
Technically,
magoo
they were
that
all
she...
river drugged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But back to Kevin, I really want to know what you guys think in the chat. I'm very frustrated. He's been a guy we've known since the pilot episode. Mm-hmm. He is an OG Riverdale character. And, you know, a couple episodes he strays here and there. Okay, we understand. He goes through a lot of stuff that a lot of the other characters don't. However, he's taken too many episodes to be set straight. And if we have to pick one character to die before the end of the season, if Kevin doesn't straighten up, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind if it was him.
No, I wouldn't want Kevin to die.
I wouldn't want Kevin to
die. I don't want him to die, but if we have, like, do they always say one series regular is going to die? They've said that.
Well, they can take Josie. She's...
Oh, yeah, you're...
She doesn't know she has to be on the other show. She's going to the other show. They're not like, and here's my ghost friend, Josie. I like pinup.
I mean, it seems like a lot of our problems with Kevin still exist, where we only see him, as we've talked about many times, just during those big moments in his life, but we don't see any of the in-between
big
stuff.
Big fun moments.
Yeah.
That's big, big fun. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to see Kevin, like, find a guy that's, like, normal and, like, kind of date him and just, like, kind of be off the hot radar for a minute and just be, like, a normal teenager.
He needs to move to West Hollywood.
I mean, he would probably have fun in West
Hollywood. Super normal when he and Fangs were like, everyone gather around while we sing at each other with candles abound.
What was that? That whole thing? That was so weird.
They were just like, Our Love is God is a song that we want to incorporate. You guys figure it out. You have a cult. Make it work.
Everyone wore 3D glasses.
What is going on? But is Fangs, like, what's going on between Kevin and Fangs?
Is anything going on with Fangs?
I mean, they had
they kissed?
Mutual connection through seeing Ethel. So I guess through that, they got even closer.
They seem
romantic. I don't know. I just know that none of my friends have ever come over, worn all white, put on 3D glasses, and lit a bunch of candles to let me make out with somebody. And that means that they're just not good friends.
It kind of reminded me of my sorority initiation. I don't, you know, it's been a long time. So 3D glasses were not involved at that point because technology was not involved. But who knows? Pi-Fi these days, they could have some crazy stuff going on there.
I will say there were no screens in this scene, though, so the glasses did seem extraneous.
Yes, I don't know what they're for. It's probably because of all the drugs they're on.
Probably. What happens when you're on drugs, nobody remembers.
I did like that they used the, like, mushrooms to basically just be like, and don't forget, Midge died last time and you're still messed up from it. And you're like, ah!
It's random.
It seems the weirdest thing to me. It's like if I was in a room where somebody said, why don't you share one of your biggest, darkest secrets with everybody?
That happened in my sorority. I'm not even kidding. They locked us in a house and we all had to share our biggest secrets.
Did you share your biggest, or did you kind of like a medium secret?
No, medium secret. And then they all put us in white, and we at 5 a.m. I got called and they put me outside and everyone else was wearing white. It was weird. Sorry.
I would just lie in that situation.
Was your sorority just called The Farm?
The Farm.
We were all, you know, super beautiful and had a lot of fun. It was basically party with Pi Phi. You know, they're, I guess, girls
Chad had Michael
a lot
Murray
of fun.
Was our dad.
Yeah. Oh, God. He wouldn't be my dad. Let's just say that. He would be something else for Pi Phi.
Out of all the secrets, though, you don't have to say any names or anything, but was there anyone that you were truly like, that is dark and weird?
At Pi Phi?
When you did yours, where everybody's sharing their secrets.
Well, there was some stuff. It was just sad. It wasn't weird, but, you know, it was more sad. But the weird stuff would be when they would, like, blindfold and girls would go around yelling at each other. And I'd be like, what is this? When I had a little sister and I had to do that to her, I was like, I'm so sorry. You can take your thing off anytime. It's fine. I'm not part of this cult.
The Veronica jumped in. I mean, I guess she's kind of, you know, taken by surprise about her parents.
Well, I couldn't see who was in there.
Veronica.
Was she in the white? Was she one of the people?
Oh, she wasn't in the room, but the fact that she was in the little gymnasium and then piped up about her parents separating.
Yeah, that was her secret.
Yeah.
Which Reggie, I don't know how I feel about Reggie at this point. Like, at first when he's like, oh, are you just getting back with me because of your ex? I'm like, okay, you can be justified to be upset with that. She's like, no, my parents are splitting up. And he's like, that's not a good enough reason to want to get back with me. And I'm like, yes, it is. Be nice. Like,
I don't think that's a good enough reason for her to want to get back with him. Like, that's a horrible reason, because then she's not genuinely interested in him. She's working through her parents' issues through him, and she doesn't genuinely love him, and she's going to end up hurting him and breaking his heart at the end of this.
It was the smartest thing he's ever done, and he's not super smart.
No, so, he's a jock.
You know, I was proud of him, actually, in that moment.
Mm-hmm, same.
Well, we see at the beginning of the episode when Veronica starts chiming into the song that she's ready to get her diploma and get the heck out of there and just, you know, leave this town behind. While she's also hanging up a help wanted sign for Bouncer.
Yeah. I was like, how many Bouncers are there needed at Pops? Like, with this secret underground.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, you're not very good at this. Like, if you're putting in writing on the window, like...
Right. Like, it didn't even need what help, like, just...
It's for our secret nighttime activities.
And she had to go somewhere to get that printed because she didn't write it in marker. She went to some sign shop and said, make sure, could you put
Bouncer?
They
could have been stickers. She could have, like, she could have used stickers. Which I like even better, because then you have to think that Veronica got ready, put on her, like, little vintagey Pops outfit, and then, like, got out her stickers to, like, craft a Bouncer sign.
Are we talking about the soon-to-be separation divorce? Because I have a lot to say about this.
Please, Sam, what do you have to say?
First of all, I thought it was made very clear, end of last season, beginning of this season, we hate Hiram. Even Veronica. So he gets shot, and he was fine. Even though he had done all these horrific things, put a bounty out on her boyfriend to murder him, which just last week was made right. I'm sorry. I've been hoping Hiram would die for a long ass time. We've always known Hermione was doing something, and it was to protect her or Veronica and everybody else. And I'm really surprised how everyone seems to be so shocked and Veronica is sad, her parents getting divorced. I would tell my mom, let's go run to Europe. Like, let's get the hell out of this country. Daddy is scary.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, she still has gone back and forth. I mean, there was the whole thing when, like, he was in the hospital and she was all worried and, like, Archie was going to kill him. And then she was all happy that he saved him instead. Because, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's still her dad and she still wants her family to be together. And she even said, like, you've always said family is the most important thing. That's been the thing that's been ingrained in her. So for her dad then be like, there is no more family. You betrayed me. Done. Like, that's a devastating thing.
I could have called it, though. He's crappy.
I mean, I guess it's interesting. Is a dysfunctional family unit better intact than at least a separated one?
No, it is not.
Yeah, I think she's better off with, like, just Hermione. Like, they don't need Hiram to be... Like, he just consistent... Like, the fact that he all of a sudden has moral ground to be like, you tried to kill me, now our family is over. It's like, how many times have you threatened to kill her, and how much have you put this family through? Like, you're not the one with, you know, who should be sitting on a high horse right now, dude. But I think they're better off without him.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Alina.
I was just going to say, it kind of goes back to, like, now this whole family dynamic. Now that he doesn't have
a drug empire, like, what does he bring to the table?
A prison?
Well, like, yeah. Well, also, like, when Tony was talking to Cheryl and it was like, what does love mean in your family? It's like, for them, it's like almost like a keep your friends close but your enemies closer type scenario, yeah, where it's like true love is kind of controlling each other. And even though that's a messed up dynamic, that's what they know. So that's why Veronica's now having to break down all of this, like, the entire social dynamic that she's had built up for her idea of what love is, and then having it kind of ripped away. I mean, obviously, you should not be married to someone who tried to murder you twice. Mm-mm. Like, that's not a healthy relationship. Mm-mm. But it still sucks for Veronica to be like, everything I've ever known is not really the correct thing.
But also, I mean, Hiram did hire Tallboy to shoot, and it could have killed Hermione. A couple seasons ago as well, too.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
Hiram, yes. Hired him.
There's a lot that we are forgetting, and quite frankly, I don't remember. There's been a lot of episodes last season, but some messed up stuff happened. I remember thinking, there's no turning back for this character. Mm-hmm. There's no way we're going to have any sympathy for this character. But the daddy card was somehow pulled, and I don't know, some people forget, because it's easy to forget. It's once a week, lots of drama, it's lots of things happen. Dimples.
But I don't think anybody's saying, like, Hiram's a great guy. They're just saying it sucks for Veronica that, like, you know, her parents are splitting up, even, and she thought that they were going to always work through it, and that she always had a team to fall back on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my thing with this is that certainly the teenagers are our entry point and the people that we follow throughout the course of the show. But I also feel like, I mean, you do give the adults some storylines as well. But I feel like do we want to see these parents' storylines explored only from their children's perspective? So we only really get to see what they see? Or do you want to, I feel like I want to see more scenes of the Hiram and Hermione having that kind of real confrontation and seeing scene rather than just hearing the aftermath of it.
But I feel like they have so many characters, so many of the teen characters, that, like, it's hard to then work the parents into the storyline without it being, like, too much.
Yeah.
Because then we go into the whole, like, chalice game thing, and you're like, all right, well, this is just about the parents. Yeah, I like it, but it's like they have to have it as almost a separate storyline. Like, if they had had Hiram and Hermione have this whole conversation and then have Veronica come in and be like, well, when we just said exactly this that you just saw, you know?
Yeah.
Well, even though I did think it was weird that they were both just sitting in a dark room staring at the door waiting for Veronica to open the door. I was like, this is a terrifying thing that you guys have decided.
They could have
is
at
normal.
Least done it if they were, like, singing at each other.
Well, I think the stories are actually a lot more parallel than you guys might think, because literally the kids tonight, they drink Kool-Aid. They drink blue Kool-Aid. Think about the episode of the flashback when they all, you know, the chalice, all of that. I think there's something that's definitely a through storyline going on, that what the kids are going through today is not maybe exactly similar, but related to what their parents went through back, you know, 20 years ago or whatever.
I think that's been a recurring theme. Like, they keep having that throughout, but...
Yeah. And I think it could help us, though, kind of solve, like, what's going on with them, to kind of think back to that episode with their parents and what we know about the stuff that went on with their parents.
I don't think the writers are getting that deep with this one. I feel like it's just kind of focused on trying to make the Heathers musical work.
Well, you know, I have high hopes, and I always get disappointed, so...
And so at the end of the episode, Veronica has one request, and that is for both her parents, you know, for one last time, for a happy memory, come together to see
this. To watch me stomp around.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And then
when they look at it, they are sitting together, but they look just like we're just staring straight ahead. We are showing no emotion. I'm also thinking, is that really how you want this, Veronica? It's not really a happy memory. Mm-mm. You have your parents there, but they don't want to be with each other. And are you really enjoying watching them look so miserable?
But it's because they're there to support their daughter. So I think, like, that's her whole thing, is it's less about, like, them being together and more just, like, her having a team. Because now Reggie is split off from her, and he was kind of, like, her go-to, like, I mean, he was right that she kind of just used him for whatever she wanted. But, like, now he's gone. And so now if her parents, like, she wants to make sure that they're both going to still be there for her.
Yeah.
So another relationship. Oh, actually, before we get to our next topic, I mean, Zach, do you have anything you want to say to our listeners?
I do.
Because I know you love to share this
every week, you guys. I just love to let you know that we love you guys, and we love that you help us stay the ESPN of TV Talk. So please subscribe on YouTube, hit that subscription button, and don't worry about those pesky notifications because they're totally optional, even though you want us in your inbox. You want to see Frank and me and Alana and Sam. Like, you want us in your notifications so that you can keep up with Riverdale with each of us. So please hit that subscribe button. Leave a comment below because we love when you engage in the conversation. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes as well and give us those 5 stars. So if you're listening to me on iTunes right now, please give me 5 stars because I love 5 stars. And we love you guys. And again, thank you for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, on iTunes, you can choose which one of these panelists you want to give your 5 stars to. So
Zach.
Just, yeah,
Zach.
There you go. Zach gets
five.
Them all.
All around.
All right, so we've got Josie and Archie. Their relationship is, well, they're not even real relationship is outed by Sweet Pea in his little fit of jealousy. But now they're using this as a kind of chance to kind of reset and start all over again. Do we like this kind of Archie-Josie 2.0?
Swipe left.
Yeah. Ditto right. For me. We know it's not going to last for long. Josie is going to be in the spinoff, Katie Keene. And, you know, I've just never been a fan of the coupling. We already have two amazing choices for Archie.
They have no chemistry. Like, they don't work together on screen. It's just...
I miss Valerie. If we want to put him with Valerie. Remember that old pussycat?
I did like Valerie. That old pussycat is the worst description of anyone. I'm sorry. I can't let that go. I had to stop mid-sentence and address. I'm sorry.
She's an old pussycat. I mean, like, where is she?
But yeah, I'm down with Valerie. I liked Valerie a lot. I do just like that they were able to sing Fight For Me in a boxing ring. Like, I was like, all right, you guys have a boxing ring, you thought this through, like, you were like, the title of the song is Fight For Me, how can we make this work? I was here for it.
Well, and it looks like that is the gym that Hiram gave Archie.
Yeah, it's much better off now. I'm like, Archie's been doing some cleaning.
Yeah, so he cleaned that up, I guess, and he just uses it for himself, I suppose?
Yeah,
just
he's like, this is my gym.
All right.
It's for singing. Yeah, it's where I bring my chicks over to sing.
Yep, next thing we know, musical Fight Club. It's going to be the episode. It's going to be
the first rule of musical Fight Club is we don't sing about musical Fight Club.
Well, I think Riverdale might break
that rule. Oh, that wasn't worth it. Thank you for the rim shot. It wasn't earned.
It doesn't seem like anybody's a big fan of Archie and Josie pairing. But I have to admit, I am not really invested either way in their relationship. I have to be honest and feel like I haven't missed Archie and Veronica together. I haven't felt like, oh man, just get them back together. I haven't felt that urge either.
Mm-mm. I miss Veronica and Reggie more than I miss Veronica and Archie.
I think Archie just needs to be by himself and figure some stuff out.
Archie needs to, like, see a therapist, do some ayahuasca, like, you know,
I want to see Archie team back up with a bear.
Me too.
I just want them to work out their differences.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I think maybe Archie's best with, like, Kevin or something. Who knows? I mean, he has a lot of things to express. I'm just saying. I know that they wouldn't do that with the character, and that's a damn shame because I think it'd be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like at this point, I wouldn't even want to put that on Archie and be like, also, your boyfriend's in a cult.
Yeah.
Like,
you're processing the sexuality. Like, you're trying to figure, like, that's just a lot to put on him.
We also have the ongoing pursuit for Jughead to try to rid the town of the drugs that his mom's trying to push back into the town, and finds out that his childhood trailer has been stolen, and figures it's going to be the next location for a sweet drug lab.
Breaking Bad style, Gladys.
Do you agree with Jughead? Like, you know, that it's like, this is our childhood home. She's destroyed that. Or do you go with Betty and say, that's your childhood. Just leave it behind. Who cares?
Thank you, next. I agree. And I also think I don't trust Jughead's mother to not want to murder him or Betty. Maybe Betty. Because, you know, maybe she won't murder her own son, but Betty's a part of it. I think she's going to go far and be very angry.
I mean, to me, I'm just like, maybe keep your backup house since your current house is my house that my mom just sold to you. Maybe let's not light your other one on fire in case things don't pan out with the farm.
They had sex in the fire and it was beautiful and sudsy.
Sooty? Is that like slutty mixed with sooty?
No, sooty. Yeah, sooty.
Sooty?
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant. I like it.
I was like suds? Like I was envisioning like...
Soot, sooty.
Sooty.
No, that's after. That's sooty. When they have to like sudsy. When they're like, hurry up, clean up, you're in the play now. We go on.
Oh, vocabulary lesson, guys. Terms.
So we see another episode where Fred is like, I'm going to find... who's doing these drugs? And I'm going to stop him. And of course, Jughead.
Fred said that?
Yeah. Or, I mean, FP, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
FP. I know, I was like, yes. Fred.
Oh, so Fred, sorry. FP.
He's still alive.
How long before he finally finds out, oh, the woman I'm sharing a house with, she's really running drugs in my town?
Soon, and then he's going to run into Hermione's arms, and then,
Yep. Really? Hermione? No. Where did Hermione come from? Not Alice?
Yeah. They used to have a thing. I think Hermione's open now.
I would like him with Hermione, actually, more than really? Alice. Like, Alice has gone a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Agreed.
I mean, Alice has gone full farm, but... Yeah. Like...
Anytime anyone's going to act crazy in the future, I'm going to go, you're going full farm. I really want nothing to do with you anymore.
I feel like Alice is going to get sorted out by the end of the season. Like, we talked last week that I feel like she gets straightened out, FP helps with that, and then they get together.
And then summer comes, and somehow something happens, and she's in another cult or, you know, a bad relationship, acting like a psychopath.
Or she's just a hardcore journalist that's, like, covering everything going wrong in Riverdale, which is highly unlikely, but wishful thinking.
We also have the Cheryl-Tony relationship as well.
Yeah,
I like.
Are
this
we happy
one.
With how the arc of that went this episode?
Yes.
I like the candy store fight. Mm-hmm. Like a little dance-off battle. I also thought it was clever. I mean, again, how they're able to fit these songs. And, like, I liked Tony going off and having her whole, like, solo.
Almost threesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, we just got the two of them, Sweet Pea and the other girl, just, you know, stripping.
Dead girl walking, man.
Sweet Pea's like, I'm only used for one thing on this show. God damn it, but I'm going to do it.
I did think it was funny, though, that they were like, okay, how can we make dead girl walking work? Like, how can we have, like, okay, you have 30 hours, like, be out by Monday. Tony wears Cheryl's color. She wears red. Clearly, now Cheryl sees red and is like, you gotta be out by Monday.
Euphemism like, for blood.
I love it. Thank
Me
you.
Me too. I loved it.
Were you surprised? I felt like Tony was the one that made the first move in extending the olive branch. Were you surprised that it was Tony and not Cheryl?
No, Cheryl has no heart. Like, she would never be the first to back and offer an olive branch to Tony.
Tony's much more
involved. She gave her a gang. Like, I feel like she does nice things for Tony, too.
But...
I mean, I did like the drain cleaner line, because they put it in literally the exact same mug that they had the drain cleaner that was fed to Heather Chandler in Heather's. Like, they intentionally put it in the exact same thing.
Nice.
Because, and she even wore, like, a similar outfit, because in the movie, she, like, drinks the... She guzzles down the tea that's full of drain cleaner, and then she crashes over into the table. So they set the room up, and they set everything the same. I was like, this is like, they paid attention to all the details. I love it.
So Brian Alexander from the chat said, it was nice seeing bitch Cheryl again, but I think she was too intense. I'm glad at the end of the day, Choni is back together, though. Agreed. But Cheryl is a bitch, and she has some serious issues and needs to go to therapy.
I mean, they all do.
Well, true. I mean, I do. It is interesting to explore when they, Cheryl and Tony, talk about that. It's either all love or all hate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just like Cheryl's just got to learn that there is a huge gap in between those two and how you can conduct a normal relationship. You don't, it doesn't
but
have to be.
But she's aware of it, you know? Yeah. Like, she's aware of her trauma. And that she's like, and I didn't have, like, I had this love for JJ and then he died and then I haven't felt it again until you. It's like, that's also a big.
Oh,
revelation, yes. You know?
Again, another show that I cover here at AfterBuzz continues this incest kind of story. I think it might be pretty prevalent in people that are mentally ill, you know, supernatural shows, but also people think that, like, that are not well, that they don't know what real family is like, what real love is like, and if they get close to a sibling, because maybe it's just the writers of Hollywood, but I see it a lot in these shows, and I find that fascinating. But I loved that Tony and Cheryl, like, this hurdle that they had to jump, for me, 100% solidified them, and I'm rooting for them now all the way.
But how do you feel like it is Tony? If somebody were to tell you that, you know, the light dimmed my life until you came back into it, Do you feel like that is almost too much pressure to put on an individual where it's like, I appreciate that you love me, but you can't make me your everything, because that is just not healthy at all either.
I mean, I feel like for me that has intimacy issues, it was a lot. But like in a normal relationship, like that sounds great. You want somebody that like loves you that much.
But maybe it's 17. It's, you know, maybe like 27.
Yeah, I think having the juxtaposition of having that super heavy scene and then them singing 17 and having that be part of the reprise, you know, or yeah, before the reprise, but the first round of singing 17, the actual song, and having Betty and Jughead like making out, and then Tony and Cheryl. But I'm like, but you're talking about like, let's go get corn dogs and go bowling. And it's like, I've never loved anyone except for you other than my dead brother. And it's like, okay, well, this is a tonal shift.
We also see at the end, the one we've been talking about, and I know Sam was excited, Chad Michael Murray finally steps up as Edgar, starts that slow clap at the end of that musical.
I'm like, that was the cultiest clap ever, too. The slow part went on too long. I'm like, you're supposed to speed up the clap at the end. Guys, have you never seen an 80s movie? This whole thing is based off of one.
But it shows his power. If he started going like that at the end, everyone would, too. He's powerful.
I was surprised when I first saw the, heard the clapping and they cut, I couldn't quite see the face, but I saw the beard. I thought it was Fred. I thought it was him just like, I'll start this, guys. You know,
I thought it was Fred too.
I was like, come on, guys. They did something for us. I don't know if it was good, but they tried.
I will say I liked when, well, I don't want to say I liked when they all took their clothes off, but at the end when they're all like taking their jackets off and Betty's sweater has like the OG Jughead.
Yeah.
Crown, I was like, oh, look at your wardrobe department. Like,
I got the chills there. It really excited me.
I was into it.
Yeah, me too.
It is interesting because this, the way that Betty describes it is like an unstoppable cult. Because it feels like everything they've tried has not really worked. And now you've got Principal Weatherby. He seems to be a big fan of what's going on there. No, I don't know if we've seen like any adult that's ever said like, yeah, this place is crazy. What are they doing?
Do you guys think Principal Weatherby is going to go out like the principal back when their parents were there?
Because I kind of see that would be nice.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, it would be nice. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Have him poisoned and like die.
Yeah. I'm looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that would make it all kind of tied together nicely.
Yes, full circle, and not like they're giving us random pieces of things. I just want some through storyline to think that we watched all these episodes to kind of have knowledge about something.
A completion.
But it's also like, I mean, if it's just like, all right, well, your parents, their principal got poison, so now yours does. It's like, what? Why though? Like, what did he do? Yeah.
Well, then that's when same the reason. Agenda is fully revealed, and it all kind of comes together. Weatherby. Full
circle. all right. How long do you think that slow clap lasted in that auditorium?
The what?
The slow clap at the end. That Edgar
too
started.
Long. Too long. Way too long because I never got to the fast part of the clapping.
Yeah, it like, just I kept like, slow. Yeah. I was like,
I could believe it went on for like another 10 minutes. And nobody would say anything. They were, everybody else that wasn't part of the farm was just like, okay, are we staying? Or?
$20 says Reggie would have started tap dancing again halfway through. He's like, I'm also part of this.
Have any of you guys ever watched Veronica Mars? You have, right?
Yeah.
So Betty, and I'm rewatching now just because it makes me so happy. Betty is Veronica Mars. Like, so much of Veronica Mars. Even with the behind-the-scenes camera. Thinking, you have an iPhone. You don't need to make that loud noise with your little snap.
I did think that was weird that she was like, can I borrow your camera? And then it was like a still camera without a zoom lens. Like, I was like, your iPhone should be better than this. Yes. And also, this would be a perfect opportunity for product placement. But, all right.
And if you guys haven't seen Veronica Mars and you love Betty, including you guys, you need to watch it. It's one of the best shows ever. And I love Lily so much, but I think that she took so much from Kristen Bell, whom I love. And it's a really awesome show, and I'm seeing a lot that Riverdale's taken from it.
Nice.
Way to ring that bell.
Well, there you go. Speaking of ringing the bell, I feel like we should do our class president as class clowns.
Yes.
Right.
Zach, we'll start with you.
Oh, my gosh. The pressure. Class president will go to Cheryl, because she was the HBIC and she owned it, and I loved seeing classic Cheryl back in full effect. And then my class clown is gonna go to Kevin, because he's just a ding dong, and he just needs some dong so that we can move past
it.
Yes. I like that.
Thanks. I just came up with it.
Elena?
I feel like my class president would probably be Tony, because she's like, you know, she's wearing that red. She's taking no prisoners, but she's also having a nice, compassionate conversation with her girlfriend and working through her issues, but not having a three-way on stage. And my class clown, Principal Weatherby, what are you doing, man? Get it together.
Yeah.
Be a better principal, man. Like,
yep.
Person.
Yes, be better.
Sam? When somebody shows up with evidence, don't be like, I'm into the farm too. Chad Michael Murray's dreaming. Can't help it. He's got a beard now. Bye, Betty.
Okay, so I do have two class presidents, okay? And they are unconventional. Hermione.
Interesting.
Just get Hiram out of there. You know, she has a bigger plan, and we have always thought that she has some master plan. And he found out. Yeah, bye. I wish he could get in his own jail. That'd be fun.
Put Hiram in his own jail.
There you go.
Yes, yes, I would like that. Also, just Chad Michael Murray, you know, slow clap or not, I think that I'm thrilled to see him, and I kind of want to give him a bit of a crown just because he's great.
Oh, all right.
Oh, and yes. I forgot my, what's the other
class
one?
Class clown.
Clown. My class clown is Hiram because he's like just over him.
All right. I'll go with Tony as well for class president. I thought I like that she extended the olive branch with Cheryl. She took the higher ground on that. So I was like, all right, way to go, Tony. And class clown, I'm going to go with Zach. I got to go with Kevin. More for that ridiculous hair.
Yeah,
that hair is just so bad.
And the compassionate way of saying, and in this scene, Heather is very devastated and lonely. You got this.
Yeah. Clearly, it looks like you're going through some stuff, too. So go right ahead.
Good friend, Kev.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to ask, but just go ahead. Sing it. Sing it. So before we wrap up, though, folks, I know Sam's got some hot bit of gossip she'd like to share.
Yes. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it is hot, but it is something that we have been waiting for for the creators and producers of Riverdale to express, you know, a little bit about Luke Perry's death and how they're going to deal with it. We're not quite sure if they've shot all the episodes before he passed. And so how are they going to do it? Well, on comicbook.com, there is an interview and a quote, let's see, from the producer of Riverdale, creator, Roberto. And as far as continuing Fred's storyline, what they're going to do, he said, you know, honestly, we are, I think, all still in shock and are all still processing and grieving. We know that we have to address it in some way, but we're giving ourselves a little bit of time and space before we figure out the best way to honor him. So for me, that kind of means that they are able to wrap up a storyline for the season with what they shot. And the beginning of the next season, they will likely address it.
Does he really have a storyline this season?
Well, they have to address if he's dead.
Well, yeah.
But
I feel like he hasn't had much of one.
He hasn't had much. Like, you see him come in with a line here, a line there, that I think they'll probably ride him out to the end of the season, and then when we come back for the next season, that's when we're going to address that he passed, and that's how we're going to open up the new season.
Yeah.
I'd agree. Which I'd rather like that than try to shoehorn something into right now.
Yeah,
because I think that'll take away from whatever they're trying to do for this season's finale.
Well, I'm really not quite sure if they've finished filming yet, and I think that they may have before he passed away. So
because they were down, they stopped production, so they started back up.
Oh,
so.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. So who knows? They probably will finish it out and think about it over the summer, and which I appreciate because it should be a storyline that's taking time and care and love instead of just being like, oh, he's not here anymore.
Yeah. I did love his scene, though, at the party, too, when he comes in. He's like, there's not too many nights like this, so let's soak it up. And I was like, that was just a very poignant line that I'm glad they left in.
Also, if any of you want to rewatch all of 90210 on Hulu, like I have, you should, because Luke Perry is such a stud in it, and I couldn't think of any better way to honor him than by, like, rewatching, you know, Dylan from 90210.
That Oz, when he played the Reverend? who's incarcerated.
Oh, in Oz, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also, actually, he's also going to be in the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. That what is the trailer that was released today?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes, so he had a role in that as well, in which he will be seen. The trailer was released today. He's not in it, but he will be in the movie. Very exciting. There you go.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us to another end of an exciting Riverdale After Show. We've done it, everybody. Four strong tonight. That's what happens when you get four powerhouses. Well, three powerhouses, and then you get me.
Hashtag Riverdale strong.
That's right. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Sam, you're going to be reading all these continuing chat comments later on tonight as you rewatch the episode.
Mm-hmm. With the glass of Merlot, you always mentioned that's right. As Merlot was reading.
This. Mostly my cat and Pinot Grigio.
So. Oh, Pinot Grigio. Go.
All right, Grigio. Now we know. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Zach, where can they find you, sir?
Hi, guys. I'm Zach Peter, and you can follow me at Just Plain Zach. Give me 5 stars.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Instagram, Twitter, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I'm also on the Legacies and Shadowhunters After Show, so please to check them out.
Oh, yeah. Twitter and Instagram, Happy Go Jackie. Please give Zach 5 stars. Oh, I can't say that enough. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here next Wednesday night with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.